As Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, as we've studied several times, Eubula, from the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, there were some things that were notable about the congregation there, and it was number one is the fact that at Corinth there was a lot of diversity in that city. A lot of people from different areas live there, so there's a lot of people who had an opportunity to hear the gospel, and so then in that church there was people from different places. And Paul had to write to them regarding the fact that sometimes their attitude wasn't what it should be. Their worship had gotten out of order. They were not observing the Lord's Supper with a proper frame of mind. They were making a common meal out of the Lord's Supper in some instances. Their worship was not what it should be because there was confusion in the worship. So he wrote to the brethren to straighten out the activities that were going on in their worship service. He talked about their prayers and their prophecies and their teachings and the things that they did, and that all things that are done in worship to God ought to be done in a manner that is decent, that is orderly, as he talked about in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40. It ought to be done with the understanding that when we pray that others should be able to understand and follow along, that when we teach others should be able to understand, even if we have to have an interpreter, that they could understand the words, because it does not do any good to speak if someone cannot understand what we're talking about. And the same way in singing. Singing is a part of worship. It's an important part of worship, as all activities that we do in worship are important. So this morning we want to look at a few things concerning singing in worship. And really, there's not a lot of verses in the New Testament that talk about singing, but when we look at the activities that took place during the life of Jesus and his apostles, and we look at the activities that took place during the days of the apostles and the early church, and the things that were told then by inspired men such as Paul when he wrote to the church at Ephesus and to the church at Colossae regarding singing in worship, there is a pattern that we ought to be following in our worship. We had some good songs chosen today by Brother Graves in our service. The songs were led in a good way. We followed along and lifted our voices up in praise to God. We were edified by the words of those songs that we just sang in the last 15 or 20 minutes. And that is a part of our worship, and it's important. So this morning on the back of the bulletin, I've laid out just a simple outline concerning singing in worship. And it's basically not a lot to talk about to understand what singing in worship is and what it consists of and the importance of it. As we think back over the years, at least in my lifetime, I remember as a young person, the older men in the church would always make sure that sometimes there'd be Bible schools, and there'd be Bible classes, and there'd be singing schools. And we'd be taught how to sing. And young men would be taught then to learn how to lead singing. And when they were baptized into Christ, they had an opportunity then to learn to do that in a public way. Those who had the desire to do that and those who were willing to learn. Not all men are cut out to be singers. Not all men are cut out to do certain things, but all men are able to try and do what they're able to do, and God does not require more of us than we can do. So then leading singing is important, leading prayers are important, but singing in worship is something that we all can do, men and women alike, and we're expected to sing. We ought to sing praising God. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul wrote, "I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding." So when we sing, it's like any other part of our worship. Our mind needs to be in it. Our mind needs to be on it. Our heart needs to be in it. And we need to understand what we're singing when we sing those words, and what they mean to us, what they mean to God who we're speaking to, what it means to others when we're singing those songs, when they hear the words of those songs. And we have different words and different songs in the books that are scripturally written by men who've tried to make sure that the words in the song are scriptural, that they don't misinterpret the scriptures or misrepresent anything in any way, so we can praise God. We can give glory to His Son and talk about what God did to us through His Son. We can talk about God's creation and sing songs about the creation and the beauty of the creation that He made, and God being our Creator and us being the created and our responsibility to God. And so when you think about God and Christ and the Word of God and all that we're taught in the Bible, singing then is a part of our worship that we need to be concerned about, that we would do it in a way that would be pleasing to God. And so in the New Testament, we have both examples and commands regarding our singing that we do in our worship. And so we do that in a way that we can sing, making melody in our hearts, teaching and admonishing one another in the Lord, edifying one another and building each other up in the most holy faith as we sing praises to God. I put that verse on the top of each slide because when we think about our singing, there's something I need to work on, and everyone needs to bear in mind when we're singing to God, when we're singing in worship, that I will sing with the right attitude. I will sing with my mind on what we're doing here and why we're doing it and the reason for the singing. I will sing with the spirit, with the right frame of mind. I will sing with the understanding of what I'm talking about and what we're singing for and the reason for our singing. So singing is so important. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." And here we go about singing. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So when we sing, we are doing something. Yes, we're praising God in song. And we may be singing about joy and about the glory and the redemption and things that God has done for us. There are numerous things that we can sing about. And these songs teach a lesson. But we are teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So when you sing, and I sing, and we're lifting up our voices to God, we're teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's an important part of our worship that we would learn to do it in a way that we try to sing the way that God would have us to sing and lift up our voices in praise to Him. And then singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So we sing joyfully. We sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. And so singing then, as a part of our worship, it's not a new lesson for you this morning. All of you understand about singing, but let's remind ourselves today that tonight, this evening at 5 o'clock, when we come together on the first Sunday evening service, we normally have a song service or worship in song, and most of the men will lead a song, one song each, and we'll sing for 30 or 40 or 45, 50 minutes and lift up our voices in praise to God. And that's good. Because we do worship God in song, and we can do that. But then, over the years, there have been many, many gospel singings in Coleman County. Different congregations have had singing, and for a long time, I guess for 40 years, almost every congregation in Coleman County would have a singing at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon at certain times in the spring, summer, or fall at their congregation. And so you could go through about 18 or 20 congregations over the year, and you could attend and be part of 18 or 20 gospel singings at various congregations going on at different times and different months and different weeks, and people would gather together and lift their voices up to God, singing praises to God. Some of you here this morning can remember, even here at Beulah, years ago, Brother Herman Tillery would always make a point that the men would want him to about every year or two in the wintertime, we'd have a singing class, and we'd devote Wednesday nights. Most of the time on Wednesday night, we might devote a month, or sometimes it would be every Wednesday night for a couple of months, and we'd go over the rudiments of music and over the notes and the ups and downs of the bars, and we'd learn to sing, and the leader would learn to lift up his voice and how to lead a song and how to keep let everyone know that which verse we're on, 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, and you know we're going to sing the four verses first and then sing the chorus last, and the leaders learn to be responsible in leading the songs, and those who sang learn their parts. The bass learned their bass. The altos learn theirs. The soprano learns theirs. The alto learn their part. And we learn when to pause and what that bird's eye was. We leave it to the leader to determine how long he's going to hold. We learned all those things, but I can't remember half of them when I start leading a song. So, but the thing is, at least we were taught those things. And so singing, lifting up our voices in praise to God. Singing in worship again. Singing with the Spirit and singing with the understanding. In Ephesians 5 verse 19, Paul said, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Almost the same as it was in Colossians 3, but worded just a little bit different. So when we sing, we do speak to one another. We're singing praises to God. We're lifting up our voices to Him. It's an edification for one another. Singing, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. And we should be thankful we have that opportunity to lift up our voices in praise to God. Singing and making melody in our heart to Him. Well, again, Colossians, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15 remind us over and over, sing with the Spirit and sing with the understanding. When the Apostle Paul gave instructions about worship, and I related to that a little bit when we begin our lesson this morning in the introduction, there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26, he said, "How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has an interpretation." So our singing then, it ought to be like any other part of the worship. It ought to be done what? It ought to be done for edification. Done for edification. Let all things be done for edification. Singing, in the context of what Paul is talking about in worship, is part of all the things he's discussing. So if everything that he's discussing ought to be done for edification, then certainly singing is done that way. We're edifying one another. We're building one another up. And so singing would be done then for edification. And then in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40, Paul instructed that all things be done decently and in order. Decently and in order. Well, let's move along and look at a few other points about singing. In the New Testament, we find that the singing done by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and those who were with Him, His apostles, we find that His apostles and Jesus, when they sang, and the singing that was done by Christians, the early Christians in the church, that singing was what? It was vocal singing. It was a cappella without music. Vocal, making melody in the heart without any instruments, and singing praises to God. And we're going to note a few of these verses in a minute. There are several verses that would note that they sang praises to God. When they had sung a song, they went out into the Mount of Olives, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30. And so, when he met with his apostles and they observed the Passover, when they had finished up, when they had sung a song, they went out of the Mount of Olives. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, Paul and Silas were singing. They were in prison. They were singing, you know, singing praises to God. And so, Colossians 3:16, we read that. Ephesians 5:19, it is the act of making melody in the heart, singing vocally, and praising God in song. And so, singing, work on our singing. We talk about practicing singing sometime. Well, when we come together to worship and we're singing and we're singing praises to God, we may work on some new songs. We may sing some old songs. But really, it's not practice. It is a part of our worship and we're actively doing it. So when we work on new songs, we are singing to God, we're teaching and admonishing one another, and we're helping each other learn to sing new songs so we can edify one another and build up to God, build up one another in the sight of God and to praise Him. So sometimes we use that phrase, we're going to have song practice. Well, are we going to have song practice or are we going to have preaching practice? Preaching practice or prayer practice? When we come together to worship, it's not a practice, it is an activity. It is a something we do. The prayers, the singing, the praying, the Lord's Supper. We're not practicing taking the Lord's Supper. We're taking the Lord's Supper. We're observing His death, burial, and resurrection until He comes again. So our singing is not just a practice, it is a part of our worship that we put our hearts into, our minds into. And we sing and do it the best that we can with the abilities we have. So then again, let's go back to these New Testament passages and look at these closely for just a minute. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30 and Mark 14 and verse 26. The same period of time, but recorded by two different writers. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. When you look at the use in the New Testament of singing, it's sing, sang, or sung. It's not they sang and played, or they sung and played, or they played and sang. It's all the idea of singing. They had sang, or when they sung a song, they had put words out in the form of a song. It comes from the voice and a heart. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. So we're singing praises to God. Let's look at a couple of songs in our songbook and read these and just think about the meaning of a couple of songs this morning and some of the wording. 156. Number 156 in our songbooks. When we're here and we're singing praises to God, we're here because worship is something that we're to do on the first day of the week. But when we think about the central theme of the Bible, it involves the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and man's sin, and God's plan of redemption for man. And so Jesus is the central theme of that salvation for man, because without the shedding of His blood, coming to this earth and living and dying for our sins, we would have no hope of forgiveness of sins. So this song, number 156, talks about, tell me the story of Jesus. It says, tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed His birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. So we think about singing songs in our worship and the telling the story of Jesus. Well, telling the story of Jesus is an important story. It is an essential story. It is a necessary story that we all hear and learn after all. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Matthew 20 and verse 28, we find that Jesus, the Son of God, came to give His life a ransom for all. So, talking about the story of Jesus and Him leaving heaven and coming to this earth and living and setting a perfect example for us, yet without sin, we need to hear that story of Jesus. And that story of Jesus needs to be told, because He commanded His apostles in Matthew 28 verses 19 and 20, Mark 16, 15 and 16, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, which the gospel is the good news of what God did for us through Jesus Christ in Him coming and dying for our sins. So tell us the story of Jesus. Tell me the story of Jesus, right on my heart every word. These songs have a meaning. Verse 2, fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past. How for our sins He was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of His labor, tell of the sorrow He bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. We think about Jesus, the Son of God, and what He went through. He was tempted in every point, like as we are tempted. The book of Hebrews talks about the fact that He was tempted in every way that we're tempted. Peter tells us that He is tempted in every way, yet without sin. There was no guile found in His mouth. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, he fasted alone in the desert, and the devil came to Him and tempted Him in every aspect, every form, and every way in which we can be tempted. So we need to sing, tell me the story of Jesus, who did fast alone in the desert, who faced temptation from the devil and resisted on every count and did not sin. Verse 3 of number 156, tell of the cross where they nailed Him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid Him. Tell how He liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper. Love paid the ransom for me. So the story of Jesus. He willingly left the Father in heaven, came to this earth, was born of a woman, lived in His life in a perfect example, did not sin, yet being tempted in every form in which we are tempted, He laid down His life for us. He shed His blood on the cross. We sing that song, tell me the story of Jesus. And then the chorus says, tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. So, singing songs of praise to God. Singing songs that talk about Jesus and His sacrifice and what He did for us. It helps us to write those things on our heart, to hold those things in our mind, to be edified, to be upbuilded, to be admonished, to be encouraged, to know that God did His part, His Son did His part. Now we need to do our part in every aspect of life and in our worship, whether it be the prayers, the classes, the preaching or the teaching, the observance of the Lord's Supper, whether it be singing or whether it be our part in making our contribution of giving our time and our life to God. We need to be involved in doing it from the heart and doing it in the way that He would ask us to do that. So singing songs of praise to God are important. Well, again, reminding 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, I will sing with the Spirit and I will also sing with the understanding. Singing that is found in the New Testament when we start with Jesus Christ and His apostles, when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. They sung. It was vocal. It was verbal. They sang. Singing by Christians in the New Testament is to be done in spirit and in truth. Paul and Silas sang and lifted up their voices. Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:19 talk about the way that we're to sing. So all these put together shows that we are taught to sing praises to God and do it in spirit, that is, in the right frame of mind, and in truth, according to the way that the Bible teaches that it ought to be done. And then it ought to be done in a decent and orderly manner. Same page, same verse, same tune, same pitch, same song, same words, lifting up our praise to God that all may understand. With understanding, when we do it in the right way, in the way God has asked, we'll understand what we're singing. And we'll be edified, we'll be taught by those words. And we'll be praising God, teaching and admonishing one another, praising God, lifting up our voices in worship to Him, and edifying and admonishing and encouraging one another with the words that we offer up from our lips in song. So singing is a very important part of our worship. So then, the question that each of us at Beulah should ask, and every congregation should ask themselves when they come together to worship God, whether it be on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, when we come together and we're going to be singing songs and singing praises to God, is our singing that we have in our life today, is it in keeping with what God has taught in the New Testament? Are we singing vocally without accompaniment of instrumental music? Are we singing from the heart? Are we singing with the understanding? Are we praising God and teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual song? Is our singing in accordance to the examples and commands that we find in the New Testament? Well, it can be, and it should be. The question is it? We hope that it is. I believe it is here at Beulah. So, let us sing with the Spirit, and let us sing with the understanding. Just a few thoughts this morning about something we do every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night when we come together, and that is singing, which is a part of our worship. It's a part that we need to engage in and do our best to do it the way God would have it done so that we can be edified and God can be glorified. If you're here this morning and you haven't been baptized into Christ, God had the plan. He sent Jesus and He died for our sins. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're willing to confess that and repent of your sins, you can be baptized into Christ this day. If you're here this morning and maybe there's something in your life you need to correct in a public way and you need the prayers of the church, we'd urge you to come while Brother James leads us in the invitation song.